Okay. According to all known laws of aviation, there's no way that a bee should be able to fly. Its wings are too small to get its fat little body off the ground. The bee, of course, flies anyway because bees don't care what humans think is impossible. The title of our message tonight is All Things Are Possible to Those Who Believe. You got your list back up there, or do I need to? Huh? Okay. Did this hit there, and then it should be right here.
There we are.
All right. All things are possible to those who believe. Aren't you glad we took time to see that? Amen. All right. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Mark 9, verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he, Jesus, asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23 now. Jesus said to him, If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I want you to notice back up in verse 22, if we can go back to verse 22, it says, Often he has thrown him, the demon, through the boy, both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. He says, But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us, if you can do anything. So the man asked Jesus, If you can you do anything? If you can do anything. And Jesus turned it around on the man and he said, No, it's not a matter of what I can do. It's a matter of what you can believe. Amen. Because what God can do is unlimited, right? What God can do is already settled and decided, and he can do anything. It's unlimited. Amen. So it's not a matter of what God can do. That's already settled. There's no limit to it. The only limit is, he said, if you can believe. Because all things are possible to him who believes. Amen. How many things?
All things
are possible. Now, the Bible does say, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Before the birth of Jesus, when the angel came to Mary and said, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And he said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. All right. But here, this verse says, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen. So just as with the bee, things that in the natural are impossible become possible when we choose to believe. And we should be believers, right?
Amen. Amen.
We should believe what God says, and we should believe what God has promised.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And so I want to look at a couple of examples in the scripture that talk about this. And the first person, of course, that we want to look at when we think about all things are possible to those who believe, when we think about something that in the natural is impossible, but through God and through believing became possible, we think about Abraham and we think about the birth of Isaac, right? All right. And just to refresh us in that, we'll look at the scripture, Romans chapter 4. We'll start there. We're going to look at in Romans and then back in Genesis where the actual account is recorded in the scripture of God coming to Abraham and Sarah and giving them the promise, and then Isaac being born. We'll start in Romans 4, verse 16. It says, Therefore it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise, everybody say the promise.
Promise.
Amen. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed. So guess who that is?
Woo, that's us.
Yeah, that's us. That includes us. We're in that seed, and so what God is saying here in this is that what God did for Abraham, what God did through Abraham, was not just for him, but if we would follow in that same footsteps of faith that Abraham had and walked in, then that promise would be sure to us as well. And God would do the same thing for us, and all things would be possible for us. In fact, Jesus said that all things are possible, not just for Abraham, but for those who believe. For those who believe. Amen? So if the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to Abraham, contrary to hope, all the natural hope was gone, in hope he believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. I like to say it this way, Abraham became according to what God spoke about him.
Yes, absolutely.
He became, notice that it says, he became according to what was spoken.
Yep.
See, if what did God say about him? God said about him, father of many nations. And he became that.
Amen.
He became according to what was spoken.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's God's desire and it's God's will that through faith, you and I become according to what's been spoken over us.
Amen.
That you and I become according to what God has said and spoken about us and over us and for us and to us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And so we see that God gave Abraham a promise. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And that, again, that promise was that he would be a father of many nations. When God gave him that promise, he was 99 years old.
Yes.
Sarah, his wife, was about 10 years younger, and they had been unable to have children their entire lives, or at least Sarah was barren. Abraham ended up having a child, Ishmael, remember Ishmael, when he was 86. But together they couldn't have any. Now here they are, they're way past the age of childbearing, and God gives them a promise. Amen. And let's look at that. Let's go back to Genesis and let's look at that specifically, what God did say to him. In Genesis 17 and verse 4, the Lord said, "Come." The Lord appears to him and he said, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations." Verse 6 says, "I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." Then, we'll go down to verse 15 of chapter 17. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." So just as he changed Abraham's name, he changed Sarai's name to Sarah. "And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." Now, I want you to notice in the next verse, I want you to notice the response of the great man of faith, Abraham. Look at verse 17. "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years? You have got to be kidding, Lord. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" I don't know if that helps you any, but that I take great comfort in that Abraham's first response to God's promise was he laughed at it. And I want you to notice something too, that God didn't strike him dead for that.
Amen.
I want you to I hope that encourages you.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It should. Amen. It should encourage us. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Praise God. All right. And so he laughs, all right? So he laughs about it. He said, "And Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child." And then verse 18, he says, "And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Lord, we've already got Ishmael here. I mean, that was tough enough. Can we not just work your plan through him? Can we not just do that? Again, he's not too strong in faith at this point, is he? And he's saying, let's just go with plan B, okay? All right. God said, no, no. Verse 19, then God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I'm going to tell you what Isaac, maybe some of you are ahead of the game already, you know, but I'm going to tell you what Isaac means in a little bit here. So we go down to chapter 18 and verse number 9. So God, the Lord comes again to visit Abraham, and it's the Lord and the angels that are with him. The Bible talks about three men. One of them is obviously the Lord, and then two angels with him. And they come to talk to him about Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that? Yeah. All right. But they also come to deliver another message that was very important as well. And they said to him, these are the angels and the Lord, they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. In other words, or another way of another rendering is, in 1 year from now. Yeah. All right. I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, or a year from now, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbirth. Not only that, she'd never been able to have any to begin with. She was barren. All right. Therefore, again, great woman of faith that she was. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Say, Lord, have you noticed around what's been going on around here lately? Not much. All right. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Verse 14, is anything too hard? Is anything too hard for the Lord? What's the answer?
No.
Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 15, but Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh. For she was afraid. Let me give you a piece of advice here. God knows already. Yeah. Yes. Oh no, Lord, I didn't laugh. And he said, no, but you did laugh.
You did.
Notice again, though, he didn't strike her down.
Nope.
Didn't strike her down. Isn't that, that's the mercy of God.
Amen.
Working with us.
Amen.
The man that the scripture that we opened up with, where the man had this son the demons were tormenting him, and he was having these seizures and throwing him into the fire to destroy him. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. The man responds with this in the next verse. He says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Yes.
I'm here to tell you tonight, there's help for your unbelief.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. All things are possible to those who believe, and that includes you.
That's right.
That includes you. You can. God can get you, if you'll let Him, God will get you to a place of faith. Amen. Oh, thank God. Amen. All right, verse 21, or chapter 21, verse 1, Genesis 21, verse 1, and the Lord visited Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken. That's just like Him, isn't it? Amen. Glory to God. You ought to put your name in there. You ought to put in there, and the Lord visited Karen as He had said, and the Lord did for Karen as He had spoken. Hallelujah. And the Lord visited Brian as He had said, and the Lord did for Brian as He had spoken. Put your name in that verse. Amen. Claim it. Whatever it is the Lord has spoken over your life, whatever promise you're standing on, whatever promise you're claiming, then believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Is my microphone still in place? We've been having microphone issues. I did Sunday, it fell out inside my jacket. Okay. I think we're still in good shape, though. All right. Verse 2. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And the name Isaac means laughter.
Yes.
Laughter. Woo-hoo. Notice Abraham, when God told Abraham he was going to give him a son, he laughed. When Sarah heard about it, she laughed. And so God said, well, I'm going to have the last laugh here. I want you to name him Isaac. Yeah. I want you to name him laughter, because every time you look at him, I want you to remember that you laughed. And I want you to remember that I wasn't mad at you, but I That's took right. you by the hand and I brought you out of unbelief right. and into faith. Woo. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Praise God. Verse number 5 of Genesis 21. Now, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. Now, she wasn't laughing because the promise was so incredible and unbelievable. Now she was laughing because the promise was fulfilled and the promise had come to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She also said, who would have said to Abraham, verse 7, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Well, I'll tell you, the only one that could have said that with any confidence is God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And God was the one that said it, wasn't
Amen.
He? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Hallelujah. See, God helped them to get into faith, and he'll help you.
That's right.
He will help you get into faith.
That's
Amen?
Right. Amen?
Praise God.
Amen.
So let's go back to Romans. We're going to skip that Mark scripture because I've already referred to it. So let's go back to Romans 4, verse 19. How was Abraham able? Let's ask this question. How was Abraham able to believe for the impossible? How did he get there? Verse 19 of Romans 4, and not being weak in faith. All right. My pastor years ago, Pastor Buddy Harrison, some of you may know who he was. He was Kenneth Hagin's son-in-law, actually. And he was my pastor in Tulsa when I lived out there. And I remember him teaching on this passage. And he said, if you want to know what strong faith is and how faith does work, he said, take the knots out of this verse. And not being weak, or if you want to know what weak faith is, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. All right, if you take the knots out, it says, and being weak in faith, he did consider his own body. All right, so, but he was not weak in faith, so that means he was what? Strong in faith. He was strong in faith. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. If he had considered his own body, The fact that he was 100 years old or 99 years old at the time when God gave him the promise, if he had considered that, and it says he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Remember, she was barren. She hadn't been able, her entire life, she hadn't been able to have children. And now she's 90 years old. And certainly she's not able to now. But he didn't consider that. He didn't look at the circumstances. He didn't look at the natural. He didn't look at their natural limitations. The only thing he looked at was what God had promised. That's how, and that's the only way, that all things are possible to those who believe. If we look at the natural, if we reason according to the natural, then we'll never tap into the supernatural. We'll never tap into the all things are possible.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
But if we'll do what Abraham did, if we will consider not our own body, if we will ignore the circumstances that are telling us it can never happen, it can never be, it will never come to pass, if we will look away from that and if we will look at what God has promised. Do you have a promise in His Word?
Yes. Yes.
Do you have a promise about your situation
yes.
in His Word? If you'll hold on to that promise, because Abraham had a promise.
Yeah.
Amen. And he says, and we read earlier in Romans here where it says that Abraham was an example for all of us who have a promise, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Amen.
Right.
God will keep his promise to you just as surely as he did to Abraham.
Yes, he will.
Amen.
Amen.
If you'll do what Abraham did, if you'll not be weak in faith, well, if we consider, again, let's dwell on this a little bit. if we consider our circumstances, if we consider our own body, if we consider the natural situation, if we look at that, then we're going to be weak in faith. We're going to be weak in faith. If your faith is Superman, if you want to throw some kryptonite on it, you know what that stuff does to Superman. Just puts him in a puddle, you know. If you want to, then consider the circumstances. Dwell completely on the circumstances and on the outward condition, and forget about the promise of God, and you'll be weak in faith. But if you want to be strong in faith, then you're going to consider God's word. Amen. It says that he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he, God, was also able to perform.
Amen.
All right. So he concluded. Abraham made a wise conclusion and came to a wise conclusion here. He concluded that it was not dependent on what he could do, but totally dependent on what God had promised, and therefore what God could do.
Yes, amen.
He said, since God is the one that's promised it, God has the power to bring it to pass.
Amen.
Abraham said, I didn't come up with this. I didn't promise this to myself. God promised it to me.
Amen.
And since he promised it to me, he's got the power to bring it to pass.
Amen.
He's got the power to make it happen.
Yes, amen.
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 Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. The New Living Translation, verse 20, says this: Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. Amen. And in this, he brought glory to God. All along the way, Abraham went from laughing when God told him about it. This could never be. This could not say what? He went from there to where he grew stronger. His faith grew stronger. And he became fully persuaded, fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. If God can move Abraham from laughing to fully persuaded, then he can move us from laughing to fully persuaded. If we'll let him. Amen. If we'll let him. If we'll stay in his word, if we'll stay focused on his word, and if we'll let the Holy Spirit guide us and help us, he will do exactly that for us.
Amen.
Praise God. All right. So your faith can grow stronger along the way. Amen. Keep looking at what God has promised and pay no attention to the circumstances. Amen. Well, let's look at Sarah. Hebrews 11, verse 11 tells us a little more about Sarah. Look at what it says here. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength. I mean, Abraham had his part to play, but Sarah had her part to play, right? She's the one that had to conceive this baby. So she had to be in faith too, right?
Yeah.
Amen. And it says that she received strength. How did she receive strength? By faith.
Yeah.
By faith, she received strength to conceive seed. In other words, her faith caused a change in her body.
Yes.
Her faith caused a change in her body.
Amen.
If her faith can cause a change in her body, then your faith can cause a change in your body.
Amen.
Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, daughter, your faith has made you whole.
Thank you, Lord.
If her faith can make her whole, then your faith can make you whole.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. What was her faith anchored in? Right here. Because she judged him faithful who had promised. Her faith was anchored in, you know what? God gave this promise, and I know one thing about him. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Hallelujah. Can you say God is faithful?
God is faithful.
Amen. That will carry you through a lot of things. Just raise your hands and say, Lord, I thank you that you are faithful. No matter what you're going through, God is faithful. God is faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. She counted God faithful. The New Living Translation of Hebrews 11:11 says, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
She believed that God would keep his promise. Amen. Do you believe that God keeps his promise?
Amen.
Amen. He does. He keeps his promise. I want to finish up this evening by looking at another account. And we know that God did keep his promise. As we read, Isaac was born and they were laughing, but for a different reason. Amen. And so I want to close up by looking at this account in Scripture, Matthew 14. And this is a familiar passage where Peter walks on the water. Another situation that you would think of as something that is an impossibility is a person walking on the water.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen. Matthew 14:22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. That's after he had fed the multitude. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Still in place here. All right. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. That's verse 24. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. So Jesus stays back on the hillside to pray. He sends his disciples away. They send the multitude away after feeding the 5,000. Send away the multitude. Jesus goes to pray, and he tells the disciples to get in the boat and go to the other side. And so they're on their way to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is on the shore or on the hillside, and he's praying. And they're out there in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up. And then they see Jesus walking to them on the sea. Now remember, it says the wind was contrary. And it says the boat, verse 24 says, yeah, the boat was being, yeah, tossed by the waves.
Yep.
So they're out there in their boat, and the waves are crashing so that it's tossing the boat around. And Jesus is walking through this. Sometimes we think it was, you know, a sea of glass, just smooth and calm. But it was the worst possible storm. The waves are crashing, and Jesus is walking on the water. He's walking on the sea. And the disciples, they're out there, and they're battling the wind and the waves. They're trying to keep their boat from capsizing. And then they see Jesus, and they think it's a ghost because they weren't expecting to see him walking to them on the water. All right? And when the disciples, verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Interesting request, but so he said one word. Come. Jesus spoke one word.
Yep.
So here's the two things we're talking about tonight. All things are possible to those who believe God's promise, like Abraham did. We have promise in Scripture, promise in the Word. All things are possible to those who believe and act on what Jesus says to them.
Amen.
Now, again, this could be Scripture. How many of you know Jesus can speak to you, can say something to you, as he has me many times, I know, from the Word of God?
Yes, amen.
A Scripture comes alive to you. A Scripture,
yes,
stands out to you.
Yes.
That's the Lord speaking to you.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
That's the Lord saying that Scripture, making it alive to you, saying this is for you right,
yes,
now, for this situation. Amen?
Right. Amen?
And he can speak to you by his Spirit,
sure,
in your heart, in your spirit, where you know that God has spoken. All right? All things are possible to those who believe and act on what Jesus says.
Amen.
Amen. He said one word to Peter, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I admire Peter for that. He didn't say, "Well, Lord, I was only kidding you. I didn't really expect you to call my bluff here, you know. He's like, okay. I don't know what his attitude was in that. Maybe he didn't think it really was Jesus. Maybe he thought, oh, if it's really you, then command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, all right, come.
Yeah.
Oh. But he didn't do that. Whatever was going through his mind, he said, okay, yeah, that's the Lord. I'm going. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, most of the time we blow right past that and we get to the verse where it says he starts sinking. But he was walking on water, ladies and gentlemen. Peter was walking on that troubled sea. Peter was walking through those waves, crashing, almost knocking him over. But he's walking on the water. Wind contrary, waves crashing. Peter is walking on the water. Jesus is walking and Peter is walking. And they're walking to meet each other. They're both walking on the water. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Verse 30. See, I'll stop right here. See, a lot of times you and I start out that way. A lot of times we get into faith. The Lord speaks and we know He's spoken to us. And we start walking on the water. We're in the middle of a miracle. We're walking on the water. We're doing what is impossible to be done. We are receiving. We're in a place of provision. We're in a place of favor. We're in a place of blessing. That in the natural, it's impossible for this to be happening or taking place in our lives. And yet we're walking on the water. But you know what happens with us sometimes, like what happened with Peter? Verse 30, it says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. I think that's interesting too. I mean, how do you begin to sink in water? You don't begin to sink, do you? I mean, you're down, you're under, right? I mean, but in this case, he began to sink. So evidently he's walking on the water, and then all of a sudden he's knee deep in water and then hip deep in water and then chest deep in water. He didn't sink immediately. That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. If that's translated right and I'm reading it right, then that's what it looks like, right? All right. And so he beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. But notice this, it says, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. What happened? He got his eyes off Jesus. He got his focus off what Jesus had said and onto the circumstances. Just the opposite of what happened with Abraham. Abraham considered not his own body. And so here, Peter began to consider the circumstances. And all of a sudden, the thought hit him, hey, this is impossible. This is impossible. I can't do this. What in the world do I think I'm doing out here? I need to get back to the boat. And fear overtook him and he began to sink. And he cried out to Jesus and said, Lord, save me. And the Lord said, I'm sorry, you're a faith failure. Go ahead and go under. You're a fisherman. You know how to swim. No. He cried out and he said, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. I love that. Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. A faith teacher years ago said, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. Well, at least Peter got out and gave it a shot. Amen. Hallelujah. But what happens to us, we begin to look at the contrary circumstances around us. And we begin to reason and we begin to say, what I'm doing is not possible. And we begin to sink. Let's don't fall into that trap next time. Let's stay in faith. Stay in faith. Keep walking on the water. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your focus on what He has said to you. And He will bring it to pass.
Yes, amen.
He will cause you to walk on the water. He will bring that miracle to completion.
Yes, He will.
And thankfully, when we do get our eyes off Him, And we've all done that. Mm-hmm. He reaches down. If we'll cry out to him. Yeah. I think if Peter hadn't cried out, Lord, save me, he would have let him go down. But he cried out, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
Lord, save
Praise
me.
God.
Amen. Yeah. Don't. And again, that's encouraging too. Peter had enough sense that, you know, he realized that, oh, well, I'm messing up here.
Yeah.
I'm out of faith here, evidently, but I'm going to have enough sense to call on Jesus and say, Lord, save me. And immediately he caught him.
Amen.
Immediately he caught him. I'd love that. Yeah. Hallelujah. He stretched out his hand and he caught him.
Yeah.
Our Savior. Yeah. Our Savior. Yeah. He's your Savior.
Yes.
He'll stretch out his hand and catch you.
Yes, he will.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm. And caught him and he said to him, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You know, how are we going to answer him when he says to us, why did you doubt? Think about that. He said, why did you were walking on the water. You said, you asked me, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And I did. I said, come. And you obeyed that word. You had faith in that word and you obeyed that word. And you were walking to me on the water. Why did you stop? Why did you doubt? Why did you quit believing? Amen?
Wow.
Why did you... The New Living Translation, I think, says, why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? Amen? Mm. Let's don't doubt him.
Amen.
How many believe he's trustworthy?
Amen. Yes, he is. Yes,
he Amen? Is. He's trustworthy. There's no need... There's no reason to doubt him.
Amen.
There's no reason to doubt him.
Amen.
Let's keep our eyes on him.
Thank you, Lord.
Let's keep our focus on what he's promised.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. You're going to, if all things are going to be possible for you and for me, we're going to have to do it this way.
Mm.
We can't let the circumstances dominate our attention.
Right.
We can't let contrary circumstances cause us to let go of the promise of God.
Right.
Because
right.
there will be, the devil will see to it that there will be contrary circumstances to what you're believing God for.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Just know that ahead of time. That's part of the program. That's part of the way it's going to be. You're never going to have a situation, they asked Dad Hagin, not too long before he went to heaven. They asked him, I know Brother Randy Greer related this firsthand. He was in a private dining room with Brother Hagin and a few other ministers. This was at a meeting, one of the last meetings that he did. And somebody asked him, they said, Dad, you know, those close to him, well, we all called him Dad Hagin, and those close to him especially did. They said, Dad, do you ever get to a place where you don't have to use your faith and believe God? And he said, well, if there is such a place, he said, I've never found it.
No.
Amen.
Oh,
we always have to keep believing. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
We always have to use our faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But faith works.
Oh, yeah.
Faith works.
Absolutely.
Faith in God works.
Yes,
God
amen.
Keeps his promise.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
God is true to his word.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
God, yes.
Praise
amen.
God.
Amen.
Amen.